Federal and state health officials say 12 cases of anthrax have been confirmed. Three people have died from inhalation anthrax, a disease that successfully can be treated with antibiotics if caught in its earliest stages. Two of the dead were postal workers. Yesterday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention came under fire at a Senate hearing. Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin said he was dismayed that days passed before the CDC recommended wide-scale testing and treatment of postal workers in facilities where anthrax-tainted letters were processed.
I'm very concerned about what CDC is doing and how they're operating to make sure that those who have any possible connection with this in any of these facilities, to make sure that they are alerted, that they are tested, and that they are treated in a timely fashion.
CDC Director Jeffrey Copeland said that the agency was acting on the best information at the time. He conceded that these are tough times for public health officials.
The public health system in the United States is severely challenged at the moment. At CDC, we have reorganized ourselves, we have reassigned staff, deployed over 200 people to the field investigations in several sites, but the system is stressed through years of neglect and underinvestment. Despite this stress, one can see how public health works in a crisis, and the unseen system that's been taken for granted has performed admirably.
CDC Director Jeffrey Copeland. Most of the unseen public health system to which Copeland refers is not made up of government workers. Public health today is largely dependent on private doctors and hospitals. Until recently, doctors and hospital administrators have shown relatively little interest in learning the basics of bioterrorism. That's changing. NPR's Patricia Naiman reports.
Let's start with anthrax, since that's the biologic weapon on most people's minds. Dr. Robert Maudlin is chief of dermatology at UCLA, and like most doctors, there's only one place he's actually seen anthrax skin infection.
Textbooks, because there are only 224 reported cases of skin form of anthrax in the United States between 1944 and 1994.
In textbooks, the pictures are vivid. A lesion about the size of a quarter, typically on the arms, face, or hand. Black, swollen skin surrounding a blister, reddened by blood. Unique and dramatic, says Maudlin, and not easily confused with anything else.
However, the early stages of this may be more nonspecific. Patients can present with a flat mark or a little bump that could look like a pimple or a cyst or any number of things, and that would be difficult to diagnose because it could be any number of things.
And that's the case for many other potential diseases of bioterrorism, like smallpox. They're easy to diagnose when full-blown, but not so easy early on. And early diagnosis is critical so treatment can get started as soon as possible. Before September 11th, doctors may have missed or been confused about certain symptoms. Today, Maudlin says, doctors are on high alert.
After the first reported case in New York, many of us went back to our textbooks to refresh our memory, and now I would say that all dermatologists are ready to and able to diagnose cutaneous anthrax.
Many doctors are self-motivated, seeking out information themselves, and if they're not, Maudlin says, there's tons of information being funneled to doctors in a variety of ways, from hospitals to county health departments, and from medical professional organizations to the federal government itself. First, the hospitals. Infectious disease specialist David Pegues of the UCLA Medical Center is working mostly with physicians who would be the first to see signs of bioterrorism, primary care doctors, dermatologists, and those who work in emergency rooms.
And that's showing physicians slides of what skin lesions of anthrax look like, pictures of chest x-rays in persons with inhalation anthrax, reviewing the clinical symptoms of persons who have been exposed to the toxin from botulism and have developed acute paralysis, emphasizing early clinical manifestations so that it will at least jog their memory.
And even if doctors don't work at large academic medical centers like UCLA, all doctors are affiliated with some hospital. And for the most part, hospitals nationwide are initiating learning programs of some sort to get doctors up to speed on bioterrorism. Internist Jane Spiegel is in private practice in Santa Monica, California.
My local hospital 2 weeks ago had a lecture on bioterrorism that was given by a woman at the county health department. There were 300 physicians at that lecture, listening and learning.
And considering plans of action in case there are victims of bioterrorism. Dr. Melvin Sterling is an internist affiliated with St. Joseph's Hospital in Orange, California.
For example, in my meeting of our pharmacy and therapeutics committee just 2 days ago, we discussed what should a doctor do, how should they evaluate a patient who presents with a concern about anthrax or some other bioterrorist attack, what laboratory procedures are appropriate, what therapeutic procedures are appropriate.
Out of these discussions, Sterling says, come decisions about when and how to treat victims. Information and discussion with the public health department, he says, is also critical.
We had a meeting with the county health officer talking about this, what laboratory facilities are available, how the public health department will communicate with physicians, and this is being addressed at the county level here. I'm sure it's being addressed at the county level everywhere else.
And just in case it's not, there are numerous professional organizations, including the American Academy of Dermatology, the American Medical Association, and the American Academy of Family Physicians. All are working to educate their doctor members about bioterrorism. On the federal level, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention also offers information, including a webcast entitled Anthrax, What Every Clinician Should Know. CDC officials say they're receiving over 1 million hits every day on their new bioterrorism website. In addition, internist Jane Spiegel points out that learning new things in a timely fashion is a skill most doctors have already perfected.
Our whole profession is never stagnant. We have new diseases that we learn to treat all the time. We have new medications, new treatments for old diseases. So part of being a physician is a continued life of learning and education and changing as we find out new things and different things about situations.
Individuals should feel confident, says Spiegel, that in this new world, doctors are attuned to scrutinize unusual symptoms. Patricia Nament, NPR News, Los Angeles.